Coming up, the New York Football Giants get their wide receiver at 6, Malik Nabers in Big Blue. Yes, my friends, it is OGP, the One Giant Podcast, where you know that we are your host over here, Adam Armbrecht, over there, Andrew Mackowitz. We're healthy, we're wealthy, we're wise, we're feeling the buzz of NFL draft weekend starting on Thursday night, starting at the top of the draft. Andy, we have so many things we're going to get into, especially into day number two. Obviously, still a lot of moves for the Giants to make, but right there at the top, we'll get into the QB stuff. But first and foremost, Giants at 6, they don't move up, down, in, out, left, right. Malik Nabers is the pick. We said Roma Dunze, but by no stretch of the imagination are we not elated that the Giants have gotten themselves an elite number one talent.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was like, do you want vanilla ice cream with this or do you want chocolate ice cream with that? Either way, we're getting ice cream. So, you know, yes. I'm excited at the way the Giants approached the top of the draft. They clearly, through what we were hearing, were exploring all options that were on the table. And it sounded like they were looking to trade up, looking to trade back. And they said, if we're staying at 6, how does the board fall? Who do we have? And everyone said they had Malik Nabers as the guy. They, you know, I also hear they had Marvin Harrison Jr. ranked slightly ahead of him. Didn't seem realistic. It sounds like Arizona had given Marvin Harrison Jr. a guarantee that they were going to take him regardless of what was going on. But Malik Nabers is an explosive. Like, you know, you hear everyone talk about him. They ask scouts. You know, they say he's a dog. He plays aggressive. He's explosive. He's one scout I saw, I believe, was talked to Dan Duggan and said, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. could be amazing. I told you that I thought Roma Dunze looked and played like a Larry Fitzgerald type of player. But yeah, they said there's only one guy that they think has the ability to take an 80, like an 8-yard slant route to the house in the top three. And that was Malik Nabers. So he brings a whole different level of explosiveness rather than just like big body possession, touchdown type wide receiver. And that's what the Giants coveted at this pick. Everyone's giving it an A+. I'm not really into draft grades the second that they happen, but for what the Giants ended up doing and what they needed, this feels like a really smart pick for the Giants.
Yeah, of course. Listen, we talked about somebody had asked me over on X. Welcome everybody in. I see Dr. Pancake in the building for the live here. Joined us last night for the live draft coverage in the first round as well. Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I talked about when I asked why Roma Dunze maybe over Malik Nabers. And it wasn't about splitting hairs that, oh, here's why Malik Nabers isn't good. Obviously, we all know that's not the case. But just the idea of sitting there and saying the complementary nature of how you're going to build out your room. We think about a big body guy in Roma Dunze. We think about maybe not having a player at the tight end position in Darren Waller potentially going into this season. So you think, okay, it's going to be complementary. The other way to look at this, and clearly the way that the Giants and Joe Shane and Brian Daboll looked at this is a player, when you watch him out of the slot in Malik Nabers, gosh darn it, man, they showed the highlights last night, right? His ability to take on the cornerback at the top of his route stems and go inside, shoulder dips, outside, just the manipulation that he can perform there and that short area quickness he has, that's what you're talking about. With Wandale Robinson, we didn't get to see a ton of Jalin Hyatt last season, but in your mind, you think of these guys that are quick, fast, and most importantly for Malik Nabers and the Giants, the rack, right? The run after catch ability for Malik Nabers, when you combine that with Wandale Robinson, I think that's what we're talking about here building for this offense. Hey, I want to get the ball into these guys' hands. I want them to do a lot of the work after the catch, and it's going to go ahead and give us big chunk play opportunities. And, you know, if we're just talking about the Giants at a high level, we know big change in the backfield, right? No more Saquon Barkley. So having these kind of weapons, these explosive playmakers that can do a lot once the ball is in their hands, you don't necessarily have to let the plays and routes develop all the way down the field. Not that I think they won't. That's what Malik Nabers brings in the door here. Really excited about it. It couldn't be last night, man. I think I was kind of exhausted and fatigued by the entire draft process, but I am. I'm really excited to see Malik Nabers be here in Big Blue. Flashed open the jacket, by the way, on draft night. All the pictures, all the family members lining the inside of his coat. Seems like a great kid. Can't wait. Can't wait to see him in camp here for the Giants.
You know, what the thing I thought about once Malik Nabers was picked and why they may have taken him over Roma Dunze is, and we'll talk about the quarterback stuff and how it impacts the Giants in a second, but, you know, it feels like the NFL is moving to, like, let's just find where the explosive plays are, because if we can hit off a 60-yard touchdown in like one play and get 7 points, that is way easier than methodically having to move down the field and have everything go right on the field. No penalties, sure. No drops, no missed assignments, all that different stuff. And it feels like, you know, some of the other players, like, you know, I compare Roma Dunze's traits to a Larry Fitzgerald. A lot of people are saying Malik Nabers is like Odell Beckham Jr. It, you know, the Giants felt like they were trying to get down the field constantly, and it was longer drives, try to be sustained drives, milk the clock, get into field goal range and see what happens. This feels like a drastic change for them where they're saying, we want more explosive plays. And when you put Wandell Robinson in short space, you have Jalin Hyatt going vertical, and you have Malik Nabers, and you have those three line up, that feels like a way more explosive setup in the wide receiver room. And it feels like the Giants are going to force teams to have to figure out, who do they double? Where do they put the safety over the top? Who are they going to put against Wandell Robinson in the slot? This, to me, creates a lot of chaos and havoc that teams are going to have to plan for, and that leads to bigger, more explosive plays.
Yeah, and I think maybe, you know, you and I fell prey to it, and it's the everything, it's the total package. I remember a handful of years ago when Kenny Golladay was being traded for by the Giants, and you go, oh my goodness, it's going to be Kenny Golladay, and I had that pause where I remembered how much I fell in love with big-bodied receivers and guys that go in high point and all that great stuff. Phenomenal. And I had reconfigured myself to what the modern NFL is. Roma Dunze just seemed like such a great prospect, a great, you know, great individual that you get excited about it. But you're pointing out that reality, right? This is what so much of the NFL is predicated on. And the Giants, there's been times when I felt like the Giants are a step late on making some of those progressive decisions around where the NFL is going. This feels like one where they're trying to maybe playing a little bit of catch up because they didn't have a number one, but at least they're going in the direction where everything is going to be at the NFL level. Not quickly, we can take our time with this. By the way, just quick shout out. I said Dr. Pancake, also to Brolo. What's up? Thanks for being in on it. We'll go ahead and continue to move along with our draft. And if you have any comments or questions, feel free to throw them up. But before we go any further, how about a little bit of this? Malik Nabers, the RAS score. Andy is a big fan of the RAS score. Frankly, so am I. You combine them all together, you get a lot, a really nice picture of it, right? So it's not just the 40-yard dash time there, which is elite. It's also when you look at the splits, the 20 and the 10, because it means that his get-off, when we're talking about off the line of scrimmage and getting the advantage over top of those cornerbacks or top of those slot corners as well, really impressive. The vertical, the broad are key here as well, especially when you do, right? Like we sit here and say, okay, the height obviously is not going to put him into the elite category, and the weight, right? So he's, you know, he is not a monstrous figure or imposing figure on the field here, but it's also the reason why, of course, being an LSU product, Andy, you're going to get those comparisons, Odell Beckham Jr., right? And that mold of type of player, that it's not really about what you see on the measurables on paper. It's about the eye test and what you see when this kid gets on the field. Really like some of the routes that he ran at LSU. And I think one last thing I'll mention here before we move on is when you think about, and obviously it's going to be different, when you draft Jalin Hyatt last year, third round pick, but you talk about him, well, the route stem, you know, route tree combinations, he's going to need to develop those things. When you go and watch it, even though a lot of the damage was done out of the slot for Malik Nabers, you also see the ability to be a very movable piece and clearly has an extensive route tree combination already walking in the door.
Yeah, shout out to Kentley Platt, who's the one that created the RAS score, and he puts all this together. He tries to take combine and pro day numbers and just see how they compare and to other players in what percentile they end up falling based on all of these attributes. It develops into this, you know, relative athletic score, just saying relative to all of their other peers, how athletic is this guy? And just for context, you may say 9.67 out of 10. That sounds pretty good. That's about the same score that Justin Jefferson had. And this number for Malik Nabers ranks him 112 out of 3,402 wide receivers dating back to 1987. So you're talking, you know, a very, very elite group of
top 100 of the last 3,000, you know?
Yeah. Basically top 100 of the last 3,400 means that he is a freak of nature. And Adam, it's not just about that relative athletic score. It's that that athletic score matches up to the explosive plays, matches up to the tape, matches up to what your eyes see when he's on the field. It's not just a guy that looks really fast running in shorts. He's done it all at the collegiate level, leaves with the most yards in LSU history catching the ball. That has to tell you something with the pedigree of your Ja'Marr Chase's, Justin Jefferson's, Odell Beckham Jr.'s, et cetera.
And so, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Big wide receiver room there to be up at the top of leaving with that many yards there, obviously.